You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm Bill.
And I'm Pooh.
Would you like to start us off?
Yes.
Go for it.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sweetheart.
I love you, honey.
I love you, too. Special meaning to everybody here. They've covered just about every aspect of the meaning in the esoteric symbology of the Lion King today, and a lot of other things. And the loud pop you heard when that selection began, folks, was Pooh turning off her microphone before I could get her pot down. So everything is okay. I got to tell you, there are a lot of people here. We've had an awful hard day, and everybody is pretty much exhausted. And I know there's a lot of sore fannies out there from sitting on the hard chair all day. We had a fantastic presentation by one of our Veritas columnists, Ann Husted, who taught us, believe it or not, how to read an orange. I never knew you could do that. I never knew you could read a spaghetti squash, but she certainly taught me how to do that today and a lot of other things. It is amazing what you can tell by looking at lettuce, and also what lettuce you should eat and what lettuce you shouldn't. I learned today that I've been eating the wrong lettuce most of my life, and I really like it, so I don't know what I'm going to do about that. Scarlett's here. And I don't think he brought the beast, but there might be one on this list somewhere. Folks, I've heard from a lot of the people who are attending this conference today that they were told by their friends and their relatives not to come. They came anyway. And I think that most, if not all, are very pleased to be here. And I asked this afternoon if people thought they had already received their money's worth, and this is just the first day of the conference, and the vote was unanimous already. So that's the kind of information and the wealth and the amount of information that is imparted here. And we just finished the first day. There's four more to go. So it's going to be extremely interesting. And this is for all you people out there who told them not to come. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. You missed the trip, folks.
Yes, sadly, Missy, when you're born to be a sissy without the linen for you. But I could show my prowess, be a lion, not a mouse, if I only had the name. I'm afraid there's no denying, I'm just a dandelion, a fate I don't deserve. I'd be brave as a blizzard. I'd be gentle as a lizard. I'd be clever as a gizzard.
If the wizard is a wizard, who will serve?
Then I'm sure to get a brain, a heart,
a home,
the knife.
The noise. Oh, boy. Well, I'll tell you something. We're certainly separating the sunshine patriots from the real people who love this country. They're all here. The sunshine patriots are sitting at home. You know, I think that with the explosion of the bomb, federal building in Oklahoma City, a couple of things have happened. A terrible tragedy, of course. And we're all certainly grieved and sorry that happened, for whatever the reason. It should never have happened. But I think something else is coming out of this. The American people are waking up to the manipulation of the press, because it wasn't something that was difficult to discern over the past 6 weeks. I think people who never dreamed that they could be that easily manipulated, controlled, and propagandized are now awake to the fact that it's not only a distinct possibility, it's a reality. And of course, there's a certain segment of the population who can never be awakened, no matter what we do. And they will always, of course, be dancing on the end of the string when the puppet master pipes his tune and pulls on those little threads. Those people will dance, because that's what they're supposed to do. And those of us who love this country and love the principles and ideals upon which it was founded, love the principles of liberty, love the Constitution as the ultimate achievement of all humankind in granting these liberties, recognizing the natural rights that every human being is born with, and protecting those rights. And it amazes us that so many are ready and willing to slip back into a state of possessed by somebody else. State of possession, if you will. Slavery. One of the attendees here, staying in the motel next door, when he went to breakfast, he overheard the people in the restaurant talking about how there was a bunch of crazy people over here who were plotting against the government. He asked the guy how he knew, and he said, well, as Cooperites. He said, well, have you ever been over there and talked to anybody? And, of course, that produced a great deal of embarrassment, because they have not. Never been over here. Don't know what we do. Never listen to the radio broadcast. Don't read the paper. Never talk to anyone. So, and that was enlightening to the couple who experienced this, because, of course, they have been over here. No such thing occurs here. So, this is an interesting experience for a lot of people in a lot of ways. The people here have awakened. Some of them have been awake for an awful long time, and some of them have just had their eyes open within the last few months. But nevertheless, they're awake. They practice what I preach. And basically that is, read everything, listen to everyone, believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it. And not everybody here agrees with everything that I've ever said or that I believe. And it's not necessary that they do so. But they're here because they know that this is a place where they're welcome, where everybody appreciates and loves freedom, where they can ask questions, where they can learn, where they can be stimulated to learn more and think and sometimes be given some clues to point them in another direction that maybe they had not thought of. And besides, Arizona is one of the most beautiful spots on the face of this earth, with the clear blue cerulean skies, the crystal clean air that you breathe, the good tasting mineral water that we get right out of the ground, and the temperature is just right, except for those people who came up from Tucson and Phoenix who tell me that it's a little bit cold here because they're used to 100 degrees in the shade. And if you're used to 100 degrees in the shade, then it might very well feel a little cool or cold here, but for most people this is just a perfect climate for this time of year, and everybody is very comfortable. Michelle is here as our station chief from Oklahoma, and will be giving a presentation on her investigation with her people in Oklahoma, our people, I should say, and she's going to be presenting an awful lot of extremely concentrated information. During our investigation of the Oklahoma City bombing, we have accumulated, I don't know how many videotapes, but videotapes of everything that was aired on all the different networks and channels and satellite feeds and everything else. Plus, we have boxes, and I mean literally boxes of paperwork, faxes, articles, situation reports from our station chief and from others, seismographic reports, photographs, many, 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 many photographs. We have the seismograph of the, what they call the implosion of the building. We also have photographs of before and the different stages of the charges going off that caused the building to collapse in upon itself and then after. All of which will be published in the next issue of Veritas, which, if you have not subscribed, you had better. In fact, if we don't get your subscription by Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to pay the higher price, because Wednesday Veritas is going to press, and when it goes to press, the higher rates apply. Right now, if you can get your subscription in, you can have 6 issues for $15, 12 issues for $30, 18 issues for $40, and of course the best deal is 24 issues for $50. Anybody who's seen Veritas will tell you that it is the best, the very best newspaper in the country today if you want to know what's really going on. And we don't tell you what to think, we just give you the facts and let you think for yourself. Of course, if we want to present an opinion or a viewpoint, it's always clearly presented as a viewpoint or as an editorial. We have some of the best columns that are run regularly, and good contributors. I mean, really good. A piece done by Michael Pardo. Two pieces, actually, on Who Are You Under the Law. Have really caused some people to step back and think about the situation wherein they find themselves today. And they might be posing a question such as this.
I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain. I'd unravel every riddle for any individual in trouble or in pain.
With the thoughts you'd be thinking, you could be in Martha Lincoln if you only had a brain.
Oh, why, to tell you why, the ocean's near the shore. I could think of things I never thought before, and then I'd sit and think some more. I would not be just a number, my head all full of suffering, my heart all full of pain. I would dance and be merry, life would be a king of dairy if I only had a brain.
Wonderful! Why, if my scarecrow back in Kansas could do that.
Well, if my scarecrow back in Kansas could do that, we may not. Oh. I'm just looking at this and just realized who hasn't made it yet. But there's still tomorrow. Spencer, where are you? You said you would be here, and I'm counting on you to talk. Bob Ross is here. He'll be speaking. On Thursday, we're going to have the best presentation on money, bar none, anywhere. And we have all the paper and coins from the foundation of this country right up to the present day so that everybody can see the evolution of our money from paper to money back to paper. It's occurred. We did all the right things, starting out with nothing, created something, and now we're back to nothing again. Absolutely incredible. I don't really know, folks, where all this is going to end up. But I will tell you this. Me and many others, or I and many others, have tried every way that we know how. And I don't pretend to speak for all those others. I speak for what I see that they have accomplished. And I'm not the only one out here fighting this fight. In fact, most of the people here tonight have been fighting the good fight for a long time. Some of them are new to the battle, but at least they're willing to step onto the battlefield. And that's more than an awful lot of you have been willing to do. But we've done everything that we possibly can do to wake up enough people so that we can have enough input into what is happening to make sure that if there's going to be a change, it's a change that we will have some input into bringing about so that we can feel good about what is going to be. Without those numbers, without people that are willing to do that, we're going to be at the mercy of the machinations of those who have the power and the influence to create the world that they want. And we've talked about this a lot today. We've delved into the past, and we've talked about the present, and we've looked a little bit into the future. And by the way, part of the present is hanging on the walls all over this place. In fact, we have one, two, just about three walls of the research center, which is a big building, covered with paper side by side, four rows on top of each other on these three walls, or the equivalent of three walls, of just some of the paper that was accumulated in the investigation of the bombing in Oklahoma City. And ladies and gentlemen, I've got to tell you that the facts compared to what the public is being told is so vastly different that it is amazing how this is being pulled off. And they're not getting away with it simply because there are so many people talking and there are so many things coming to light, things that you don't even know about yet. But the press keeps on with their propaganda line as if nobody knows anything about what really happened. And of course, it's spreading all across the country. If you've been listening to talk radio, you're hearing a good portion of it. It was just brought to my attention the other day that when the president was talking about shortwave radio, he was talking about me. And the reason I know that, folks, is because I received a tape that somebody taped of the EIB network. You know, the man who sits on half his brain. Well, people were calling in and talking about who was it that the president was talking about when he was talking about radio talk show hosts. And old Chicken Plucker Rush couldn't wait to absolve himself of any responsibility. Apparently, he read a memo from one of the president's aides, and he says, well, look here, folks, you know, it's not me. It's not me. I'm not the one who caused this Oklahoma City bombing. I'm not the one who talks hate and all this kind of stuff. It's this guy. It's this guy William Cooper on shortwave who broadcasts out of his storefront home studio without a license. Can you believe that this guy would stoop so low? Well, it was wonderful publicity. And not only from Rush, but from the president and from everybody else, because I understand that in cities all across this country, Radio Shack is completely sold out of shortwave radios because everybody wants to hear what's going on. And of course, when they tune in to find out what's going on, they begin to hear the truth for the first time, and they become steady listeners. So, thank you, Comrade Clinton, and thank you, old learned man who sits on half his brain. And all the rest of you. And I hope you keep talking about shortwave radio. And mention my name as often as you can, please. And don't forget the frequency and the time. Because Americans, by and large, are a very curious lot. And pretty soon, if you keep it up, we'll have the whole country listening to us. And our listenership will increase exponentially beyond your wildest dreams or control. And, of course, that will upset you because you can't stand to have things out of your control or to be criticized or even admonished in the slightest manner. Makes you cry. Poor little fellers. Isn't it just absolutely incredible? You know, I never thought I'd live to be old enough or even live in the same world where I would hear the President of the United States whine and cry like a little baby because he couldn't stand criticism. Can't stand the truth. I never thought I would live to see the day when the American people would be so suckered by so many obvious lies. But this is what they have been trained, brainwashed, what's the word I'm looking for? Indoctrinated. That's it. This is what they've been indoctrinated to accept and to reflect and to parrot. And of course, they do. You see, most people have been reared in a manner, and of course have been schooled, dumbed down,
stupidized,
to accept getting up in the morning, bitching and complaining about where they're going to go to work. They get there, they bitch and complain about their boss and about the work that they do. They work harder getting out of work than they do actually doing any work. Of course, on payday, they very willingly take the check of the person that's paying them to do the work that they work so hard to keep from working at. It's hard to say these things without getting tongue-tied, I can assure you. But it's a lot of fun. And then they hurry up to get wherever they've got to go, to pick whoever it is up that they've got to pick up, to go out and have the best time that they can possibly have. In the short time before they have to get to bed and get a little bit of sleep, before they have to get up and explain to their boss why they're late because they stayed up so long the night before, in order to go in to do something that they hate so that they could go out the next night and do it all over again, because for some reason or other they think that that's living. And I know people who actually have been convinced that they are so stupid that they do the same ridiculous, menial-type, uninteresting, boring job over and over and over again because they really don't think that they're capable of doing anything better or anything else or anything more complicated. And I've actually had automobile assembly plant workers who were 36, 37 years old tell me when they lost their job because their plant closed down, and this was a little while ago, but nevertheless it occurred. Remember, 36, 37, 38 years old. Tell me that the only thing that they were trained to do was that job on that assembly line in that automobile plant on that model of car. And now they've lost their job. They were making like $16, $17 an hour. And what they did was a door would come by on a hook, and they would put two bolts in and tighten up two nuts by hand and then put an air wrench on there and crank them down, and it would go on to the next station. This is what they were trained for. And they actually had the nerve to tell me that they were too old to train to do another job. Well, of course, my response was, what are you talking about? You were never trained to do any job in the first place, but you have a brain. You certainly can learn something. In fact, you can create things. You could form a company and be your own boss and make your own cars. Oh, no, I could never do that. I'm only trained to put these two bolts in and tighten it down by hand and then... And that's it. And now I'm out of a job. And I'm not going back to work unless I can get equivalent work in equivalent factory at the equivalent pay. And they wonder what happened to their life. Well, I think it was an acute attack of estupiditis, is what I think it was. But who am I? I mean, really, how would I know, you know? How could I possibly judge that? You see, I've never worked in an automobile factory, and of course, at 36 years old, I wasn't highly trained putting a bolt in and cranking down a nut and going zip, zip. So how would I know? The merry-go-round is leaving on the circle of life. You had better jump aboard. Leave yours behind.
The day we arrive on the planet.
On the planet. Arrived on the planet. You believe that? Some people caught a cab on Mars and got here just yesterday.
There will be much to do. Take a nail. reason. Some say we are equal. Some say this is the message. But all our grief is to join with that beat. You can never take more than me.
The Hour of the Time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. You know, Gene Miller was here today and brought a whole bunch of stuff and talked to a lot of people, and we had a lot of fun. And he left some information with me, and I've also received some information from some other people. You know, the stock market and the, well, all the markets were closed today, Memorial Day. And I thought about getting a little morbid here and talking about Memorial Day and saluting all the veterans and people who have died in the nation wars, but I thought, no, with all the other spate of this, I won't do that. I think everybody knows that we all care an awful lot about those people, but it would just be another redundant celebration in morbidity, and I think I would rather remember those people in a way that really doesn't dwell on all of that kind of stuff. So, what we should do, I think, and I think Craig Smith and Swiss America Trading would say the same thing. What we should do is honor their sacrifice by taking advantage of what they have gained for us. And understand that the ultimate sacrifice that they've made was made to keep what they believed in, as our forefathers said, for their posterity. I think of all of those who we're remembering today were here to see what we have allowed to happen and how we are giving what they fought and paid so dearly for away. I don't think they would be too pleased with us. I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about calling Swiss America Trading to explore the possibility of getting your hands up on some real money in the form of gold and silver coins. For the purpose, of maintaining the security that these people who we are remembering today fought so hard to preserve. Security of the principles and ideals of the wealth that you've accumulated, to preserve our way of life, which, if you have noticed lately, is falling apart rapidly. Rapidly. So do that. Call 1-800-289-2646.
You know, while you're at it, thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time, because without Swiss American Trading, you probably would not be listening to this broadcast right now. But if you weren't, you'd be listening to tapes, or you'd be looking at a videotape that I did, or you would be reading Veritas, or reading another book, or something. Those of you who are interested in opening and expanding your mind, getting yourself back on track, would do it, regardless. But thanks, Swiss America Trading. When you call 1-800-289-2646, folks, do it right now. You know how you are. You know how I am. We all tend to procrastinate. How did you get to this planet anyway? Did you take a taxi? Is there some kind of a cosmic stork? Or is this all just the magnificent fantasy of a dork? I don't really know. You know, ladies and gentlemen, there are a few things that, even in the midst of all this commotion and baloney and propaganda and things blowing up and right becoming wrong and wrong becoming right and people standing on their heads and think they're standing on their feet and walking in the clouds upside down, scraping their noses on the pavement, there are an awful lot of things to be thankful for. There are an awful lot of good things that still go on from day to day. And I was reminded of that as I watched my little daughter play with Anna, Michelle's little daughter, who came here from Oklahoma. And they were such good little girls while we were having our speakers and participating in the conference. They played and ran around almost with the kind of silence that made them invisible. And if you weren't consciously paying attention, you wouldn't even notice that they were there. But I kept finding my eyes drifting over to them from time to time and watching them play quietly so as not to disturb all of the adults here. And to see the smiles and watch them clasp their mouth and hold it so tight so that the giggles wouldn't break out just brought a great, tremendous joy to my heart. And it reminded me why we have to continue what we are doing. Because whatever we leave for these two little girls and all the other little girls and little boys in the world is what they're going to be stuck with for a long, 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 long time. I would certainly like to leave a better world, a world in which they don't have to worry about the things that we're worried about now, and I don't think that's going to be quite that possible, but maybe we can give them some assurance of some kind of happiness and security based upon a life lived in freedom with responsibility. And I really shudder to think of the consequences if we fail. If they have to go to schools where they can't learn anything, where they come out stupid, Or the most intelligent thing that one can do in the evening is sit down and watch Roseanne scratch her crotch. Where the ultimate goal in life is to get laid as often as possible and indulge in as many parties as one can indulge in. And, of course, the ultimate goal is to climb the corporate ladder by stabbing everybody else in the back until you reach the ultimate in achievement and sit in the president's chair. Just how many do you think that try that ever get there? And they all go in, they're promised all these things, and of course they never get them. By the time they even remotely get anywhere near retirement, the retirement fund is gone. And the corporation usually figures out some way to get rid of them before they have to pay them anything anyway. And it's not just one or two, it's all of them. And everybody keeps believing their promises and keeps devoting their body and soul to, as they used to say, corporate. Are you from corporate? Oh, no, then you're not on my level. You sit over there. I'm from corporate, you see.
Bleh.
What a life. Get a life. But this is what people are being taught by probably the greatest and most successful brainwashing machine that's ever been invented, television. What people are learning today is incredible in its shallowness and its lack of spiritual values and its absolutely incredible stupidity. My grandmother used to make me give everything the common sense test. Didn't matter what it was, didn't matter how old I was. She was the one who had the most influence in my life, I believe, because when my mother and father were young and busy, she was older and not so busy, and she would spend hours each day reading to me. And so I learned to love books, which has never left me. I devour books like most of you devour popcorn, and I know there are others just like me. But this is disappearing, folks. People are not reading much anymore. They want to see it on videotape or watch it on television. And the sum total of all knowledge that man has ever accumulated in the history of the world exists in two places. The great architecture of the world, both from thousands of years ago and existing in the current day, and all the times in between, and books. Those are the only two places that one can find these things. You will not find it on videotape or on television ever, except in little snippets and bits and pieces, all spun to further somebody's agenda. And of course, if you read, and you read varied authors and varied books, and especially the classics, you have to eventually say, well, this one says this, and this one says that, and this one says the other thing. And by golly, isn't it incredible? You're forced to think. But if you watch television, that process does not occur. And so you're not forced to think. Nor does anybody even hint that you should think. But my grandmother began to teach me to think at a very early age. And you see, when I went to ask her a question, which I always did, she didn't always answer my question right away because she required me to give every thought or every question or everything that I pondered the common sense test. This is what she called it, the common sense test. Common sense exists only with people who have learned to think. And common sense is only developed in the process of learning how to think. Because common sense is the process whereby you apply your native intelligence to answer questions based upon your ability to put these questions through a process of thought analysis based upon what you have learned in your limited little life. And my little life at that time was very limited. But I would go ask my grandmother, where do babies come from? And she would look at me with that kindly light in her eyes, and she would say, well, where do you think they come from? I would say, well, I don't know, grandmother. And she would say, well, have you given it the common sense test? Have you thought about it, grandson? Well, no, grandmother. Well, you run along and think about it. And then you come back and tell me the answers that you have arrived at, and then we'll talk about it. And that's what she would do. And that's what I try to do with Pooh. And, of course, she's no different from any other little child, and she's certainly not any smarter, and she certainly doesn't have any bigger brain, but she has a wealth of what a lot of children don't have today, and that's common sense, because I'm teaching her to think. I have discovered, ladies and gentlemen, that today, teenagers, 17 years old, 18 years old, who just graduated from high school, don't even know what common sense is. And when they ask me a question, I say, did you give it the common sense test? They don't even have the slightest idea what I'm talking about. And I don't think that bodes well for anybody. I think that we're raising a bunch of children today who have been programmed to be absolutely helpless for their entire life. Their mathematics skills are very close to zero in comparison with every other country in the world. Reading skills have gone down. You know, this used to be number one in the world for reading, for writing, for arithmetic. Not anymore. I don't even know what place we're in now, but we're extremely low. Extremely low. In a recent test conducted amongst schools in all different kinds of communities, not just the poor communities, but the rich communities as well, in the Los Angeles area of California, which, by the way, includes 90210 and all of those big, ritzy zip codes, over 70% of the children tested didn't even have the very basic, rudimentary mathematic skills. Children don't read anymore. They watch television. They watch videotape. In fact, they don't read unless someone forces them to read with the threat of some dire consequence. And I'm telling you right now that that is going to bring a dire consequence. Can you imagine a nation of people who can't read and cannot do basic arithmetic? Can you imagine what that means for the future of this country? Does it scare you like it scares me? It scares me to death. And every time anybody even remotely suggests that Pooh attend a public school, I feel this flash of near panic. Because her mind is threatened by that, and thus her future, and her ability to cope and succeed and excel and achieve in this world. That really, really bothers me. And I don't really know what to do about it. But, oh well, enough of this. Everybody stand up right now, right where you're sitting. Everybody stand up and repeat after me.
State your name.
I state your name.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
do hereby pledge allegiance to the flag
with liberty and fraternity for all.
Amen.
Folks, in answer to the recent spate of propaganda, the intelligence service has changed its name to
Delta.
And the research center has been renamed Animal House. No one ever need be threatened by us anymore. If you stop too long in front of the door, someone will hose down your shoes. I don't know who. Might be Anne. She has a perpetual cup in her hand, and I don't know what's in it. And that's really spooky, because she keeps following me around with it. She wants me to do something with that cup, and then she says she's going to send it somewhere. I'm afraid if I do with that cup what she wants me to, she'll send it to Clinton and I'll be in real trouble. Especially if she puts my name on the cup. I wrote this in my book, folks, several years ago. About 5 to be exact. I fear for the little ones, the innocents, who are already paying for our mistakes. There exists a great army of occupationally orphaned children. They are attending government-controlled daycare centers. And latchkey kids who are running wild in the streets, and the lopsided, emotionally wounded children of single welfare mothers, born only for the sake of more money in the monthly check. Open your eyes and look at them. For they are the future. In them I see the sure and certain destruction of this once proud nation. In their vacant eyes, I see the death of freedom. They carry with them a great emptiness, and someone will surely pay a great price for their suffering. If we do not act in concert with each other and ensure that the future becomes what we need it to be, then we will surely deserve whatever fate awaits us. Now, I thought between the time I wrote this book and now that some kind of changes would be made to change all that. But it hasn't. In fact, everything has become worse. And the government keeps coming out with all these plans and programs and creating these agencies and social workers and all of these things. And they keep showing us reports and studies and everything that shows that all of these plans and these people and these programs and everything are going to make our children smarter and brighter and keep them out of trouble and prevent them from becoming pregnant when they're 13, 14, and 15, and 16 years old. But the end result of all of this socialistic societal machinations has been that more and more and more children are in trouble, more and more children are killing other children, more and more children are becoming addicted to dope, drugs, cigarettes, alcohol, more and more teenage children are
having abortions. More and more and more children are being born to these young girls who cannot take care of those children that are being born to them. And so they're being relegated to a life of social welfare and government programs that teach them how to take care of these children that they didn't want in the first place, that grow up to be just like them. Now, it seems to me that somewhere along the line, someone would have a light go off inside their cranium, and they would say, look here, this socialistic, liberal, Marxist nonsense doesn't work. What are we going to do about it? And this should be people in the government who are supposed to be smart. They tell us that they are, and they keep showing us all these studies and reports and everything that tell us exactly the opposite of what these reports lead to. So why do we keep believing them? Can you answer me that? I don't think so. So you sleep on it tonight, and you tell me about it tomorrow, and tomorrow night you're going to hear from a lot of people who are sitting out here in our live audience about what's been going on here, where they're from, what they think about Arizona, and specifically what they've been learning. If I feel up to it, we'll do that. If not, we'll do it the night after. But we'll do it one night this week. And I say, if I feel up to it, because it all depends upon whether I do the presentation tomorrow or whether Michelle does it. Good night, folks, and God bless each and every single one of you. And remember this. A miracle has occurred. Paul just threw away his cane, grabbed a northbound truck, and he's on his way to Kansas City, yelling something about the yellow brick road, and Ann has run off after him. Ann McLaughlin, that is.
Then I go to my brother. Hey, brother, help me please. But he winds up.
I got an idea, folks. Let's create our own New World Order. Let's put a spin on this and take these guys for a ride they'll never forget. I just thought of that. Let's discuss that tomorrow night and see where it goes. Can we do it? If we can do it, you want to help? If you want to help, what form should it take? Now that's a thought. I could really get involved in that.
It's been a long time coming.
Oh, and I'm investigating a way, folks, that you can refinance your house at 3% interest. Stay tuned.
Now you can talk.